Hey, it's Tim. Pickup Truck Plus, SUV Talk, blah, blah, blah. Joined by the 5-1 World, Jill Sminello. 3 syllables there, Tim. All right, great. Have a fantastic start tonight, as most live streams. So we're doing a live stream. We'll do this as a podcast. Listen to podcasts. Thank you for listening. I do appreciate that. Every listen does matter. Although one of our fans on the forum was surprised to learn that I don't make a dime off podcasts. So there you go. Every once in a while, I get a advertisement that pays me about 25 cents. And basically, it costs me $30 a month to host the podcast. And I lose $29.75 about every month.
Well, but I will say you do make money off of the live stream.
Yeah.
And the question is that enough to cover the podcast hosting?
I think so. I think this all works out. Anyways, I want to hop into this right away tonight. So as we said, Tim, it's Tim and Jill. I want to talk about front bench seat trucks that still exist. This kind of blew me away, and I'm going to cut this, Jill, into its own video. So we have to make sure that we're
stop and start appropriately.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer there is. So last week, Jill and I try to do live stream a week, and some weeks we do well, some weeks we don't. Whatever it happens, we were talking, and this guy threw this comment at us and said, "Hey, I'm just now new in the truck market, and I'm looking for a 6-seater." Six seater would be a front bench seat that was so 3 and 3, right? Front and rear. And I was kind of taken aback by this. I honestly had to do research. I was thrown aback by this.
There aren't any trucks that have a front bench seat anymore.
I know. I've been doing this for 14 years, Jill, or over, well, I don't know, over a decade, whatever. And you've been doing it a little longer. It occurred to me, I don't think I've ever had a press loan of a full size truck that's 6-seater. I know Jill's cocking her head right now because it's interesting. They've all gone bench front seats, and they have the luxury feature.
They've all gone the bucket seats.
Yeah, bucket seats.
Let's kind of step this back a little bit. Usually, the test vehicles that you and I get are the upper trims with all the features and things like that. And so, you know, usually if you're looking at something that has a bench seat, it's going to be, you know, not the top trim. And it's just by nature of people who order the press fleets trying to put, you know, the latest, greatest, best things in the fleet. And so very often we don't see the lower trims with features like a 6-seat bench in the front.
No, and this was such a great question for us because I love to stay grounded, and I love the fact you guys ask questions. Mm-hmm. They kind of keep us grounded, and I do research on this because it really kind of threw me for a loop. And Jill and I actually did a bunch of research on what is the more searchable technical term: 6-seater, front bench. So if you understand this business, we use a lot of SEO in our titles and things to make sure you guys search traffic gets, you know, see stuff. So Jill and I were like discussing this offline, like, is it 6-seater? Is it front bench seat? Like I was trying to figure this out. I have no idea.
Is it? And I mean, we settled on people are searching for front bench seat. So it may not be like front bench seat for trucks that they're searching for, but I don't know. But so the key phrase we ended up using was front bench seat.
Okay. So if you listen to Rabble long enough, you're probably like, damn it, Dim, get to this comment.
Get to the point.
So I want to do this tonight. I have a bunch of tabs open on the top, and Jill gets to play judge and jury and executioner. But anyways, Jill gets to decide which interior she likes better. So I want to go through these one by one because I think this is kind of interesting. And I did not know this. And if you're watching this video as a snippet, whatever, I bet you don't know this either. So the first image we have is your traditional, what I kind of grew up with, was a fold down middle seat in the front. So you can raise the seat up and you have a bench. Or you can put it down and you have two cup holders and the headrest basically sits between the seats, right? So this is something I grew up with and you probably have seen as well. I have a Chevy Silverado as a second image. And this is with the new interior, which is really interesting details in this, by the way. Not every truck gets the same interior. So, all right. So let's go. 2424 trucks with a bench seat. And so I want to start this by saying alphabetically, and I have my friends who I messed this up, but my friends correct me. The Chevy Silverado offers a front bench seat in the following trims: WT, work truck, custom, custom trail boss, custom work truck, custom trail boss off-road kind of work truck, LT, RST, and LT trail boss. So they offer 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? 6 trims. So if you go to Chevrolet.com and you go to vehicles and we go to trucks and we go to Silverado, if you go to the build and price tool, you'll be able to see this. So I want to, yes, use my, whatever is the code. Okay, done. All right. So I maybe had this, I should have had this on beforehand. So let's do a crew cab short bed. We'll do trims and we'll do, let's look at the work truck first. So your bare bones, four-wheel drive, crew cab work truck, right? Click on interior, and here's what we got. You know what that looks like, Jill? That is the 2019 Chevrolet interior, right?
Yeah,
that's very, the smaller very, screen. That's the stuff that Chevrolet got yelled at over, right? Journalists were mad, customers were mad. This was I remember to this day they were touting all these amazing like camera views, and I said, "Well, you can't see any camera views in that damn small screen, anyways." So yeah, what the hell? So it's interesting. So there is the work truck, but what's really fascinating to me is if you go, so what work truck? We're at 49,535. Four-wheel drive, short bed, crew cab, work truck, 49,535. I think that's a pretty good price. What do we decide? The median price point for vehicles is 45?
Like 48.
48. So we're right around that point. Yeah, right around that point. So that's something. So let's go to trims. I want to go to, what did I say, RST? Because no. I did. I spent some time clicking on stuff. So I'm going to Turbo Max, the 2.7, and RST, and we'll go to interior. And here we go. We have the same bench seat, but we have a much nicer interior.
Yes.
Much nicer interior. So this is like the modern interior. And what I mean by that, we have some wood grain there. We have the bigger screen. You can see.
Leather seat option.
Leather seat option. Yes, we have leather seat option, which is fascinating. So if I click on jet black leather. Do I have to do anything differently? I've changed my transmission. Okay. I have to change my transmission from an 8-speed to 10-speed, apparently. I add $6,686. Holy cow, for just leather? But do I keep the buckets? No, I don't keep. I go bucket. I don't go with the bench seat. So if I go back to cloth and I... Jeez, crime, you removed. Nope, I got to go all the way back. Somehow we added the wrong thing. But yeah, so I can't do...
No
leather. So you can't do front bench seat leather, which I'm actually okay with. I don't...
As long as I can have heated cloth seats, cool with it.
Exactly. Heated cloth seats are the schnitzens.
Yeah,
all right, so there we go. There's that. So I have the nicer interior. We have a column shifter, not a console shifter, which I think is fascinating. People watch our videos and say, well, I wish they would go back with the column shifter, Tim, or I wish they'd, you know, well, yeah, they still have the column shifter. Just depends what kind of seat setup you have.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that these brands offer both.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go, Jill. There's one option. I'll leave that as best option.
Okay.
The second option is going to be F-150, the Ford F-150, offers just two trims with bench seats. They are XL and XLT. XL is your work truck trim, and XLT is going to be your volume trim. So I'm going to go their website. Ford's website's kind of not so great. They need to like do some work on this website.
Why is it not so great? Since we're being
I guess I'm getting older, and the smaller icons and the see how this is faded here in the side. I can't see the gray lines as well as
maybe
I should.
Maybe you need glasses because that was perfectly fine for me.
You cut out there. I didn't quite hear you. You cut out.
Perfectly fine.
Okay, so let's do short bed, crew cab short bed, which I'm you can correct me if I'm wrong in the comments, but I'm pretty sure if you go to Syndicab or Super Crew, you probably get the same kind of bench in the front. And I don't know about bed, but let's do the XL. So XL, pretty base looking truck. Interior. So there's our interior. Do we have another photo of the interior? Okay, there we go, Jill. So we have in the XL, we have the bigger screen, Jill.
Yeah, I feel like the standard screen for Ford went up.
Yeah.
The 2020 redesign.
Yeah, and you're right. So we have a bench seat, bigger screen you can see, although it has a white background to it now because it's daytime, which sucks. There's a blue background that's so much better in these trucks. I don't know why. They should just toss the white. It's ridiculous.
I like the white.
No, I can't hear you again. It's a dog running around barking at what's going on.
Blah, whatever.
There's our bench seat. So we have the bench seat. We have a little bit of chrome going across. Is that chrome in an XL work truck?
No, that's plastic.
But I mean, it's plastic meant to look
bright
like
plastic.
Right. So there is your other option on the inside. So there's your option for a six-seater, a.k.a. front bench seat forward. Do you need to see the XLT? Should we see the XLT? Let's go to the XLT. Let's go back.
Yeah, Sean says the F-150 XLT with the bench seat now comes with a 360 camera.
Oh, that could be something. I'm gonna say that four times. Commenters on this channel are really in tune. I really appreciate you guys' viewpoint. You guys have a lot of good things to say. Does the XLT look bigger? The same as XL.
No, I was gonna say, does that screen look bigger? I don't know. Something looks different there. I don't know what it is.
Okay, so we'll leave the XL. That's the highest trim so that we can compare apples to apples. So we have, remember, Silverado and we have XLT. And both have column shifters. Okay.
So then we have adjustments along the way, or do I wait until the end?
Wait till the end. GMC Sierra offers bench seats for Pro, SLE, Elevation, and SLT. So let's go here to vehicles. Let's build and price. And let's go. Okay, yes. There's a Denver zip code in there, by the way. It's not Nebraska. I usually put my old
zip code in from Florida.
I shop a lot in Denver because it seems like you get more options. Okay, so there is our work truck based GMC Sierra.
Ooh.
The double glove box it's going to use. And this is the same as the does, right? So the same GMC, the same as
it. I can't believe the base GMC doesn't have a better, like, that looks terrible. For a GMC.
It does. It looks awful. I'm going to agree with you. It's awful. So what I say, let me go back. It's SLT is the highest trim that has the bench seat. So SLT. So SLT, and I don't know if I have to choose engine, whatever. Who cares? Interior. So there we go. The SLT.
Okay.
Now that's better. That's a lot
better. Yeah.
Although I do wish that GMC would change the logo on their steering wheel. What do you think of that? Just looks kind of plain to me. Looks like they can do maybe something a little more fancy. I don't know. I'm nitpicking here.
What would you like them to do that's fancy?
I guess they all do just the same icon. I guess GMC does not have a logo, do they? Just says GMC. That's
their logo.
yeah, it is. The letter's a logo. So the Chevrolet's got a bow tie. Ford's got their the Ford kind of oval. All right. So that's what we got. That's it. The best trim level SLT. Let's go Ram trucks. So I went Ram trucks. I went 2025, and I was looking around. I put it on story. Nissan Titan. This is where I mess things up. Nissan Titan. Come here, Nissan. My alphabet is not very good. Jill knows this. She edits my stories. So SV. They tell me SV.
Well, clearly I did not catch that one. I'm editing your stories, and I did not catch that.
Yeah, we had a snafu with my alphabetical list. It wasn't good. But if you go to Nissan USA and click on number of seats, you can actually slide over to six seats. If you slide to six seats and you go to build and price, they basically offer you a Titan Crew Cab SV. I don't know why the screen got weird. That's what they offer you. And then the interior is going to be the big baseball bat shifter, as Jill knows. And then
the black your HVAC controls when it's in drive.
Right.
And your stop-start button or your power button. Yeah.
This is what you have. Now, Jill sent me a photo, and we can see the side profile, right? So there's your side profile of your Nissan Titan, and then there is that Nissan Titan with six-seater. Pretty plain.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty plain. There's an argument there. So we have price points about the same, $48,050. What do we have here? I have this thing. Won't.
56.
Does it say 56? I can't see. The StreamYard's covering that up.
Yes, 56.
I'm going up here. What do we have? 56. Come on. All the way to the top. Summary. Come on. Give me a price. Yeah. 52.
Yeah.
52 for the Ford. And summary.
51.
You can see 51 there? Okay. I'm sorry. The StreamYard's messing up. So let's go to Ram. So let's build and price Ram 1500. And I wrote in a story. Double check my story. Ram 1500 offers a few trims for bench seats like Tradesman, Bighorn, and Laramie. This means you get a work truck plus two different consumer trims, including the Laramie with leather, which I believe the Laramie does have leather. So you can get a bench seat with leather.
Maybe.
I think.
Unless it makes you go to the bucket seats again, like the other one did.
do some massive upgrades. So this is a 6-passenger seating, and this is your interior. I don't see any other photos, which is a little frustrating.
No, and it has vinyl seats, it says.
That has vinyl seats. I'm looking at, what are we at? We're at 42,270. And what model do I have?
The base, right?
Did I base? I thought I did base.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did a rep. No. I had a Tradesman two-wheel drive. So Tradesman four-wheel drive with a quad box or the crew cab. So let's do crew cab, 46,875. You get a bigger screen, plus you get six-seater. For 46. That's not bad. Let's do Laramie. Let's do the top trim. Laramie, build. Let's do interior. It says 6-passenger. See right here, 6-passenger. No.
Where does it say 6? Because up, okay. I see up at the top, it says 5-passenger.
Yeah. So that's what threw me. So 6-passenger seating, leather trimmed.
And, yep. It does say leather.
Yep. Leather trimmed 6-passenger for 66,170. So what do we say? 46, then 66. So you have quite a bit of range there. We can get leather with a fold-down seat. Huh. And I'd love to see Explorer 360. Let me see if it can explore. Okay. Oh.
There we go.
Sorry. I'm.
That would be the Jill seat.
I went crazy. But yeah, there's the middle seat. And it must fold down. So you can get leather, Laramie, 6-seater. That's nice. That's like the highest trim level we have. So there's that option. So we say last one. I said
vertical screen.
I said the Toyota Tundra isn't offered with bench seats. So what do you want to insert your sad trombone?
Oh, wonk wonk.
Yeah, wonk wonk. but it's there's no there is no Tundra with a bench seat. So when I looked at the build and price and did the things, it's all 5-seaters. So I don't
even. Tundra is the only one that doesn't offer it. Then,
yeah. So seating for 5, seating for 5, seating for 5, seating for 5. Even SR, even an SR5, even SR trim. Let me go back to SR trim, and as far as I can tell, when I looked at SR trim, looked at cabin bed, I have seating for 5, seating for 5, seating for 5. So no, there is no Tundra. So we need a 6-seater or front bench seat. Tundra's out. So we have Silverado with this kind of a vertical screen. I owned one. I'm a little partial. That's why Jill's
horizontal a judge. Screen, by the way.
Horizontal screen, yes. That's why Jill's a judge and editor and keeps me in line. F-150, we go back to interior. We go interior one more time. We have this with a horizontal screen. That's your interior for the Ford. GMC has got maybe a little touch more chrome or gray painted chrome, whatever you want to call it. And that is the SLT, the higher trim. The Titan, here's your Titan looking interior. Yeah, the operational screen, it works fine, but it's not like as big as the other ones. And you have the Ram interior, which we've done the 360 kind of make you dizzy look to it. So, all right, Jill, there are the options that you have to choose from. So where are you at?
Yeah, actually, I fall on the GMC Chevy side of things. I feel like those two look the nicest. And I mean, if you make me pick between them, I'd probably say GMC.
Okay. Yeah, I like the, I mean, I've had a Silverado, so I'm probably more interested in the Ram at this point because I haven't owned a Ram. And that's just me. So that's, yeah. So Mr. says the GMC is hot.
Jill looks like on a fire.
On fire. Dick Hedder says, Jill looks like a trucker with the baseball cap on. Cool.
I know. So I went for a walk this morning, I have to tell you, and I've been cold ever since I got back. So I still have like my buff on because I was cold in my fleece shirt, but yeah. And I've had my heat on in my office all day, but yeah. So I haven't showered, hence the hat.
Once you get cold, you start to not get cold. Have warm up. GMC is $4,000 more, but you get full leather. Worth it. Was that full leather? Yeah, I think it was.
Base Ram was leather. Vinyl.
Yeah, I think the base was. So, Sean, I would say the base. Let me pull it up. Where'd my other screen go? So I want to double check this. So I want to make sure accurate information is going out there. So I
have accurate information. What?
I know, right? I want to be right because I want to end this video in a little bit because I want to make sure people get the details they need. But let's look at this one. Jet black perforated leather appointed front upward seat trim. Oh,
So that's the SLT. I think that's the base the was the leatherette or vinyl.
The base, yeah, the base was the pro was like cloth.
Yeah,
this you can get. Yeah, you can get leather in that. So there you go. Good, congratulations, you win.
So GMC and Ram have leather. The right. others are either cloth or like a vinyl.
Yeah. Interesting.
And by the way, I am not swigging a beer.
Oh, it's bubbly. She's drinking bubble water. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to end this video here, and we have a full live stream later on. So just if you want to look more live stream, I'll end this part of the video and check it out there. Yeah, more details. So, all right, Jill, let's get back to the what are we doing? Oh, I need to go back to
what. What are we doing?
What are we doing? What's going on here? Who's on first? Who's on second? Jesus
Christ. No, what's on first?
Yeah, right. That actually did happen in the game once. Okay, so I want to get back to this topic that you wrote about. And by the way, this guy here, DriveWise Allstate, he's like my neighbor.
Well, so just
that's how you know local ads are local ads
based on you being where you are. Right. I'm like, what are the ads that are on? Like, I always find it interesting, like the ads that serve up for different people.
Yeah, share your screen real fast. What ads do you have?
Hold on. I'm not going to share my screen because that takes effort. But let's see. Oh, I don't have an ad showing up on the top. It always takes a while for my ads to load. Oh, okay. So Walmart seems, because I go there all the time. never. We don't even have Walmarts in the city of Chicago, I don't think. Or if they do, they're like express locations. So Walmart is showing up for me.
Right. But just be clear. You go to the grocery store, but it's a more unique city store. It's not like is it mom and pop store, grocery stores, or is it chains?
So we this is a weird question you are asking. Okay, so there's chains everywhere.
Right.
In Chicago, our chain is called Mariano's, which is owned by Kroger.
Okay, so you have a national chain.
I live in a Hispanic neighborhood, and so my local grocery store is actually called Rico Fresh. So if I need to go and just pick something up really quick, I, you know, walk across the street and go to Rico Fresh.
Do you get reward points? Is it like do you have a customer number?
No, I don't. But Rico Fresh. You just like saying it. But they
have I love to know what kind of tears they get. Like if you've reached Rico Suave level.
Rico Suave, right? No, Rico Fresh. So there are like some mom and poppy kind of things throughout the city, but, like if I need like name brand things, I usually, head out to like a Mariano's or something like that. If I'm looking for something specific, but for a produce store,
I grew up in Michigan, we had Myers dominated.
Right. Myers is so when I'm in Indianapolis, there's a Myers there and that's where I go to charge. Because there's an Electrify America station at the Myers Indy.
Okay. All right. So,
digression. Thank you for sticking with us.
Will Mitsubishi pick up come to the United States after all? So this is a story that came out a couple days ago.
Right.
I'm clicking on it. Mitsubishi, for those who don't know, still exists. Not sure you know that, but they still exist as a company.
It does still exist.
And they're working with Nissan as a partnership. And they're talking about...
Let's back this up a little bit. So Nissan, Mitsubishi.
I'm rolling back my hands. I'm going to roll this back. Rolling back.
Mitsubishi, Nissan, and Renault have like this alliance. And that goes back to 2016 where it's not a partnership per se, but it's like kind of a corporate alliance. And I think they probably share some parts and some technology and things like that. But they've never... they don't cooperate that much. They do have the Nissan Rogue, which and the Mitsubishi Outlander, which kind of share a platform. But that's like the big partnership that they've done in North America is with the Outlander and the Rogue. But the Outlander has a PHEV. The Rogue does not. So they still kind of like have done a little bit of a separation there. So with that in mind, you know, Mitsubishi and Nissan are now starting to partner up, like partner, not just alliance, but partner, and they've been talking about the idea of bringing a pickup truck to the United States that they will build in Mexico.
Okay. Quick question from Dave in Canada. Do you think Jill's husband makes any decisions at all? Dave in Canada wants to know, do you think Jill's husband makes any decisions at all? So I'm going to scroll down the story, and you can,
sometimes he makes decisions.
Okay. So Mitsubishi makes what do you want to say this? How do you want to say it? Triton?
I would say Triton.
I'm just trying to think about, like, I don't know, Triton, we call it in the United States. Listen to this podcast. This guy says,
Triton,
says aluminium.
Aluminium.
Yeah, I just.
It depends on if you're British or not.
Right, exactly. So according to Story of Auto News, there's a new partnership between Mitsubishi and Nissan. They're going to build a truck, right? But the truck being produced in Mexico, it does appear to be coming. It's Mitsubishi's building stuff. But there is some discussion about this being a EV truck.
Well, like a straight truck? Is it the next gen of the Frontier? Is it an electric truck? Is it a PHEV? There are no details. It's just a conversation.
Okay, yeah. So there's some back and forth on this. I heard some outlets say it's full EV. I've heard other people say, like, no, it's going to be a combination truck. So Mitsubishi used to build, like, the Raider, which was a knockoff of a Dodge Dakota, I think, back in the day.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, this is not unheard of for them to do it. You share costs, throw the badge on there, you make less profit. I get it. Makes business sense. But so it's interesting. We didn't talk about it very much. We didn't do a video on it. I didn't do a video because there's not enough news to do a video. But I want to talk about a live stream because I still would love to see a compact EV truck. I know that's sacrilege for some people that will say, Tim, you sold out and the Democrats got you and da 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 da. Look, EV full size, I am really not sold on. I'm really got a lot of concerns. But you give me a small little compact running on the farm kind of truck, a daily driver for city. Like, one of the things that I learned was that some of these cities, like there's a city in Ohio that uses like small little electric golf carts, basically, to fill up the toilet paper in City Hall or do the trash cans or do landscaping. They don't need to get out their big 450s and 550s and 650s snowplow trucks. They run a little electric trucks around because, you know, think about it. A daily use from the city jail, the police station, fire department, City Hall, there's a lot of times you're running around just doing, you know,
cleaning up things. And they're not going to go more than 100 miles.
Yeah,
so,
they're just doing supplies. You know, they're running supplies over to City Hall real fast, something like that. Yeah.
I mean, I live in Chicago, in case you missed it. And I live near what they call the 606, which is a pedestrian path in the city. And it's an old train line. And every day that I walk on there, I always see these diesel filled trucks or like little trucklets or whatever up there that are like they smell bad and they're like I go up on the 606 to get away from the pollution, yet here are these trucks doing like gardening and maintaining the
plants loud.
There that are polluting me. And so like every time I walk up there and I see these trucks up there, I'm like, man, this would be a good use case for an EV.
Well, and then you have power on board, right? If you need to cut something down, screw some, you know, charge a battery for your power drill, whatever, you have a power right there. So I think it makes sense. I don't know if there's enough profit there for automakers. I don't know.
I think there could be, especially because they would be completely pared down, like none of the extras, none of the options on it. I don't know, but you could probably charge extra for the power on board. So to me, this just makes the most sense. Like in a city environment. And in fact, you know, we're seeing Rivian actually do the Amazon trucks, like the little Amazon van things delivery in cities. And I see it everywhere in Chicago.
Well, the thing is, the one thing is about EVs that you can debate them all you want. There's a lot of debatable points that are not the future. I don't believe they can just going to solve climate change immediately, that kind of stuff. But I do think in a city environment,
take care of my asthma.
Right. But I do think in a city environment, they will cut down on pollution and they will make one of the things that don't talk very often is the noise of the city. Mm-hmm. Cities have a little din. There's always a noise in a city. And if you can reduce the big cargo trucks and things like that, you will make it a little bit quieter for people, and maybe your hearing is better. Maybe there's a variety of things that could come up from that. And so, and then from, again, from a City Hall use point, I mean, you're not putting fuel in these trucks at all. You're using electricity, which is a lot cheaper, which is good for taxpayers. Although the initial outlay for taxpayers be more expensive than a gas truck. It's just long-term thinking on this. And so, I don't know. It's interesting. Let's talk more interesting stuff that I know you were super excited today to talk about. Sales results. So I'm joking around.
Love Jill, sales results.
Jill.
I live for sales results.
Right. Jill doesn't really give a crap about sales results.
I was going to say two hoots, but crap.
Right. Yeah. So I do. I find them fascinating because I love to see what you guys are actually buying. I love to see, is my viewpoint matching up? If I'm, I always feel like if I'm way off base, I'm talking about some oddball, unique vehicle that I love. Obviously, I'm not doing a good job making you an informed consumer. I'm talking about some random thing that you guys don't care about. So we have sales results. So I thought we'd talk about these, and I'm going to put Jill at an awkward spot where she loves this stuff. But I'm curious what you guys' thoughts on quarter one sales results. We have high interest rates. We still have UAW impact. We still have deliveries being delayed out. Deliveries. Well, I'm talking well tonight. Sorry for those on the podcast. Go ahead and turn me off anytime you want to, or hit fast forward button. Are those on the video channel? Go ahead and hit the slow me down setting. It sounds like this when you slow me down. Okay, so full size truck sales, Ford F Series again leads the way as it should, because they offer the F-150, F-250, F-350, F-450 all in combined sales. General Motors have been snarky last couple quarters. They've started breaking out light duty and heavy duty. This is like a poking on Ford. And I have said, and I don't know if you agree with this, Jill. I've never asked you this question. I break out the Chevy Silverado and GMC Sierra numbers separately because that's the way GM puts out the information. And if they do it that way, I feel like I'm doing the same way they're doing. There are other outlets out there that combine those two numbers into a, I'm going to use my air quotes, GM trucks category. And I'm like, well, if GM wanted to report them that way, they would have. And until they do, this way I'm reporting information. So it's a, and Ford loves the fact that GM breaks this stuff out because it always shows they are leading the best selling truck lineup for 47 years, 49 years, 57 years, whatever the number they want.
I mean, I know people can do the math and they can, you know, look at 126,000 plus like 68,000 and add that up and understand that that's more than 152,000. But for giggles, mm-hmm. You could put a line in there that is GM trucks total, mm-hmm. and then break everything out. I don't know.
Yeah, I've gone over that for the last, I've been doing this, I realized this the other day, I've been doing a sales report for almost my entire career, because I find it interesting, and it's been the same way, most of the same way for years, although Ram truck overtook the Chevy Silverado at one point, which was kind of shocking. Like, people in the industry were talking about this. I had friends like messaging me on Facebook, like, oh, did you see that? Like, they really got, because Ram has always been third. It's always been Ford.
And does Ram include heavy duty and light duty then?
It does.
Okay.
It does. So Ram truck includes heavy duty and light duty. They were down 15%. I did quarterly percentage change because I didn't want to do percentage point off of it or one of these numbers. So they were down. But I mean, you got a new, this year, if you're a Ram truck fan, which I said in a video earlier today, holy cow. Wow, you're in for a big year. We have 1500, we have RHO, we have heavy duty probably, we have the plug-in hybrid, what do they call it, Jill?
The Ram Charger.
Ram Charger.
Then you have the Ram Rev. I don't think we'll see the Ram Charger or the Ram Rev this year. I think that's going to be 2025.
I think so too, but they said by year end, the Ram Rev.
I think we will see it, but I don't think it's really going to be on sale.
Yeah, it's not production, yeah. So, I mean, Ford's got a new 2025 F-150 coming out, and Super Duty's finally starting to come out. Like, they were delayed a lot. Kentucky truck plant was one of the truck plants that UAW hit, and that really delayed a lot of things. Suppliers, parts, getting production going again. Silverado, there's not much going on there. Sierra's not much going on there. The Tundra, this is fascinating to me, because I've been reporting on the Toyota Tundra for a decade now, and this is the first time they've eclipsed like 30,000 sales in my memory. Again, you guys know more than I do in the comments. Let me know. But this is the first time they've exceeded that. And I feel like it's partly because the San Antonio plant has now no production constraints because Tacoma is now only built in Mexico. It used to be Tundra and Tacoma was built in Mexico, or built in San Antonio, and they split production based on consumer needs. And now you have Tundra and Sequoia being built there, so you're going to build more Tundras, obviously. And I also feel like they've kind of they've fixed a lot of things. There was a lot of problems with the Tundra when it came out in 2022, more than I anticipated, a lot more than people thought. Like there's some Toyota loyalists who have just they have thrown in the towel. They're done. I mean, there was a lot of debate with that truck. So I feel like they fixed some things. I feel like the other lot's getting full again. I feel like things are moving in a positive direction for the Toyota Tundra. And then Nissan Titan is going to be discontinued after this model year. I have to correct myself. Jill smiles because I'm bad about this. But when you announce the Titan's dead, I just announced the Titan's dead. I just don't think it's dead. It's like I put it in the corner. Forget about it. It's gone. Right? But it's not dead. It's still around. So,
yeah. I'm not dead yet.
Nissan Titan.
Yeah. So you know what I find interesting about these numbers? Ford is down 10%, whereas GM and, you know, GM is up 2%. You know, right. Both Sierra and Silverado are up. And that to me is very interesting. But I feel like Ford has had so many production problems, you know, not even just related to the strike. They just I was looking on the Ford website today and you know I was looking for a 2024 Ford F-150 Lightning and you can't even build the 2024 model. You can only build the 2023 model.
Yeah.
And that's because I to the best of my knowledge they still have a production halt on the F-150 Lightning. I have it on my to-do list right here to follow up with Dawn. To see if there is still, I guess it's on this page here, the front page, but to follow up with Dawn to see if there's still a stop sale and production halt on Lightning. And I just haven't gotten there yet.
Right. So those who don't know, Dawn is the Ford Truck Communications Manager and we work with her quite a bit. So we have to email in and get updates and that's how their job works. So that's both sides is interesting because as you pointed out, GM is kind of carrying water right now. 2%. It's kind of 2%. It's you're not really doing a whole lot there. You're kind of holding the line. Tundra was
up. They didn't decrease. 10% is a huge decrease.
Well, and what I'm saying is GM is kind of holding the line. Mm-hmm. Ford and Ram had huge decreases.
Yeah.
Tundra's up quite a bit. And the Titan was up like 2%. And it sold maybe 100 more trucks. Like, and Nissan's just trying to get rid of their supply.
Yeah,
like that's where they're at right now. Well, so
Nissan in general right now is having some supply problems. Like they have way more vehicles than people are buying. And that's just across the board. Like like with Nissan Rogue, Nissan, like anything, Nissan Frontier, Nissan anything. They just have an excess. So the moral of that story is if you want a good deal right now, go buy a Nissan.
Yeah, and Nissan actually increased. I just saw that in Auto News, as Jill and I both follow different websites and things. They are increasing the number of fleet sales because they're trying to blow out product. And I don't want to speak badly of Nissan right now, but Nissan is kind of they're kind of a mess. I have a Nissan Ariya outside I'm reviewing. It's not bad. It's too expensive.
I love the Ariya. Next to the Kia EV9, I would say that's probably one of my favorite EVs that are on sale.
Yeah, I mean I don't have anything that stands out to me, but it's 267 miles of range for $54,000.
From Chicago to Indianapolis without stopping to charge in that.
I barely made it home tonight.
Hmm.
From northern Denver because 70 miles an hour going uphill to Cheyenne into the wind. I got home with like 40 miles of range. Like it was.
What was the battery percentage?
When I left Wellington, Colorado, it was 90% when the charger shut off.
Because the vehicle was set to shut it off at 90%.
Maybe. It was brand new. The vehicle's got 300 miles on it.
Yeah. So somebody went into the controls and said, don't charge past 90%. If you still have it and you're charging overnight tonight, see if it gets past 90%. I will bet you it does not.
I've looked because they charged it up. So I'm charging 220 now. I thought it was 100%. That's a good question. I need to look into that one. But anyways, so I don't think it's that bad.
90%. What was it when you got home?
It was 20.
20% is perfectly acceptable.
Well,
that
and
is,
I drove,
that is not like that. That's not a nail biter to me.
I drove like 120 miles. Well, it's a nail biter to me because stopping at Farmer Bob's place is not really an option for me. Like,
it, no, but I'm just saying, like 10% is a nail biter, 20% is not a nail biter.
Okay. We have different levels of nail biting, and I still have lots of nails left. Moving along to mid-sized trucks. Mid-sized truck sales were like, what a crapshoot. Wow.
Yeah.
Mid-sized truck. So let's understand. Let me back a little bit. Mid-sized trucks were on fire.
Oof.
They were on fire. Mid-sized truck was the hottest growing segment. It was on fire. Toyota Tacoma was down 60.8%. That's got to be generally due to just the turnover of the old model, new model.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at Ford, the Ranger, that was down a ton as well. Everybody's waiting for the 2024 model.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm looking at a few comments. I want to make sure. So you guys are commenting. Let me keep commenting. I'm looking at them when I can. I have a small screen here. Down. So you're looking at 21,000 units versus 53,000, or basically 21,000 trucks versus 53,000 trucks. I'm rounding off completely, but just kind of that's where you're kind of at with those numbers. Nissan Frontier up 14%. Now, are you thinking that? Where are you at with this number? Because this fascinated me. People have been talking, and you've read the comments on your TikTok. You've read the comments on your YouTube channel and my YouTube channel and TikTok Truck Talk as well. I have a car channel. Joe's got another channel. We'll put that in the comments or something like that. Anyways, you've seen the comments about turbos, and people are really frustrated about all these turbocharged engines. Nissan Frontier is like the newest truck without a turbo, in a way, to say that. And so up 14%. You're up basically 3,000 units. Give or take there, 3,000. Yeah. I'm saying units, 3,000 trucks, give or take there. I mean, I don't know. But then you go to Chevy Colorado. Colorado was up 12.6%. It was only up about 2,500 units. And Chevy Colorado is only turbo now.
Yeah. So, well, I feel like the Nissan Frontier is also playing into, there's a lot of inventory on lots.
Uh-huh.
You know, it does not have a turbo. And I think the Nissan Frontier looks good. So, I mean, you have a nice looking truck that doesn't have a turbo and there's a lot of availability right now.
Yeah. And people in the comments on the video, I did a sales video this morning and people talked about how Nissan Frontier has got a lot of incentives on it.
Yeah.
And I learned early on in this business, I had a guy pull me aside from PR and he said, no matter what we do with these trucks, no matter what bell and whistle we add to these things, cash on the hood always sells. So if you put an incentive on any sort of truck, you will sell that truck because it's on sale. And that's always get people's attention. Chevy Colorado, like we talked about, was up about 12.6%. The Colorado was up 12. The GMC Canyon was up 9.3%. And we just talked about a story about how they are like delayed coming out to marketplace. 2024s are delayed, finally coming out.
Right.
I saw on Facebook, the Wentzville, Missouri had another hailstorm go through. Oh my, they need to build a roof for that damn thing. What does Sean say?
Right. So he says, I'm amazed GM is that high. Don't they have a stop sale right now? Yeah, I think that is over. The stop sale is over. So I think what we're seeing, like if you looked, if this was broken out month by month, I think we would see January and February sales like, but right. I think March is where stuff is actually starting to come out. And that's why that bumped up.
Right. And by the way, you will see other outlets that will do a monthly truck thing. Every automaker reports differently. I've gone to quarterly for our outlet just because it makes more sense. I can't do monthly. Monthly is such a small snippet. Quarterly makes more sense. That's
yeah. Well, because what is it? Isn't General Motors only releasing their numbers quarterly now?
Yeah, General Motors and Ford went quarterly. I think. Or did it? Everybody's different. On this list, you find every other maker's a little bit different, and they have changed a couple years ago. And I'm done with it. I'm not gonna play the games. So what I do is I add if I don't have quarterly numbers, I add numbers together and make them into quarterly numbers. Ooh. I basically take year to date minus the last quarter, and that's what I get.
This is another good point from Gene. Mm-hmm. He says the Nissan is also one of the few mid-sized pickups that has an extended cab option.
Right. It's in a cab and also it has a longer bed too. So mm-hmm. I think a longer bed in the Nissan Frontier. So people want choices and Chevy and GM, Tacoma and Ridge and Ranger have said, no choices for you. Crew cab, short bed only.
No soup. You get no soup.
Yes. So now let's talk about the longest truck in the midsize truck segment, Jeep Gladiator. It is super long. And what do we have this year for 2024? Refresh my memory. We were in Texas looking at this. We've been places looking at this. Don't we have like a Baja version and then more of a rock crawly version, right? Like a
X We've version. Not in Texas. That was what they released in Detroit.
Yeah. So, and yeah,
Where are you geographically? Right. I think it was the Detroit Auto Show they released that. Yeah, and it's like a Rubicon X and then Rubicon maybe X. Like a Mojave.
Yeah. Right. So Mojave X, Rubicon X. So basically a more extreme off-road version, a more extreme
sandy version.
Yeah. And one thing that's interesting with this is that Jeep Wrangler is talking about different things too. They do a lot of 4xEs. Jeep is doing a lot of 4xE plug-in hybrids. The reason why is they've been paying fines to EPA for years for CAFE. They're pushing these. There's certain states you can't buy Jeep Wrangler unless it's a 4xE, unless you order it or fly elsewhere. Like, the dealerships don't offer it. So I don't know what to make of these numbers. I don't know if the Jeep Gladiator is, like, doing that poorly, or if it's just the fact that you can't buy anything besides the 4xE, and some people don't want that, and I don't know.
But it's selling better than the Honda Ridgeline.
Oh, yes. Oh, look at Jill. Jill's got the knife in her hand. She's stabbing. The Honda Ridgeline was down 14.8%. Now, Jill, is that a truck?
It has a bed. It's a truck.
So anything new with the Honda Ridgeline is it's got a little bit more front fascia, and it's got HPD off-road version. I haven't driven one in a couple years now. Last time I drove one, I had a good time with it. I mean, the interior is not a wow factor, but on the dirt roads, it handles potholes really well. For a unibody truck, it absorbs the potholes really well. So, and I know friends who have them who love them. I swear by them. They love the little bed and they love the little trapdoor storage thing in the bed. They love that aspect of it. And the tailgate opens two different ways. And just they showed off me all the time. Okay, so GMC Canyon, and then wonk wonk. The worst one
that is ouchy.
The Ford Ranger sold 1,918 units Q1 of 2024. Last year, Q1, they sold 11,500 units. They were down 83.3%.
Yikes. That is just ouchy.
UAW meant they couldn't produce them. They have a new model coming out. New model got delayed because of UAW. I mean, the strike. Let me be clear. I'm a huge fan of UAW. I'm a huge fan of UAW. I'm also a fan. Don't criticize UAW. I'm kind of split. I was in Michigan. I grew up kind of blue collar and white collar. I know a lot of blue collar friends. I'm just in the middle of this kind of stuff. But yes, it did impact things.
That is ouchy.
Right. So you would think that Ford Ranger is getting discontinued after those numbers, but Fords have a new one coming out, and it's just a matter of time to wait till those numbers come around.
Well, and we only just drove this 2024 truck like a couple weeks ago.
Right. So, it was a month. It was a year almost. I mean, it was May of last year when I got a chance to see one. So. Yeah. And, you talk about delayed. Ford Ranger's delayed, for sure.
Delayed. Well, you know, and it's really funny because the Hyundai Santa Fe, I think, is also a 2024 model. Mm-hmm. Usually, like, when you are driving, like, a vehicle in 2024, it's, like, the next model year. So, so the Ranger, like, because we drove Tacoma in 2023. And it's a 2024 model, so that is just how far behind it is.
Yeah, it's how far behind it is. Elliot says they just lost a lot of viewers, but LOL. I'm not talking about EVs and things or whatever I was talking about. So let's look down compact pickup sales.
Well, new category. Lost a lot of viewers because you were firing. You were saying discontinue the Ford Ranger.
right, probably.
Elliot, clarify. Why is Tim losing viewers?
Right. Elliot's on point as always. Elliot commented on a Facebook post I put on this thing. Maybe he always makes me double check stuff. It's like the ultimate, like if Elliot could be an auto journalist, he would be it in a heartbeat because he is really good. He keeps track of all this stuff very much to the point. He corrects me all the time. He corrects Alex and Autos all the time too. So I find this hilarious. Compact pickup sales.
Oh, it's because you said you supported the unions.
I did. Yes. Well, people hate the unions, but unions have good and bad. They're like anybody else in the association in the country. There's been good times, there's been bad times.
Can I create a union at Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk and be the sole member? Because I need a raise.
Right. You do need a raise. I agree.
Can I get that? How about a 401k?
Well, keep dreaming. Compact pickup sales. Ford Maverick, kaboom.
Yeah.
Kaboom, baby.
So that's just made up all the sales that the Ranger lost.
Oh, right? Oh, shots fired. You shots fired for Jill.
I have to wonder if actually people were going in to buy the Ranger and they didn't buy the Maverick instead, because the Maverick is just, you know, one, there, and two, like, better.
Ooh, ooh. Here we go.
There's a hybrid version.
I'm telling you, the comments are flowing. People are going to fight back. It's at Jill. That's J-I-L-L in all the comments. At Jill. Put them down below. Ford Ranger was down 10,000 units. Ford Maverick was up like 15,000 trucks.
Yeah. Like 15,000. Everybody who went to buy a Ranger bought a Maverick instead.
I think the Fords finally got production going. They finally figured out to build more of these damn pickups. People love the Ford Maverick. People are buying.
They really do.
How many journalists do we know? Harvey Briggs has one. Yeah. I swear.
A lot of people. What is it? Jessica Ray, I believe, from Motor, not Trend, Motor something.
Yeah.
He has one.
I tell you what, if you talk to other journalists and as a whole, as a group of us, you will find nobody that hates the Ford Ranger or Ford Maverick, excuse me, Ford Maverick.
No.
Look at I tell people in the forums, like, journalists love Ford Maverick. Actually, they're buying them, which is kind of unheard of for journalists to do. We're like normal people. Some of us buy new, some of us use. We just buy whatever we're going to buy. Ford Maverick has been a hot item for anybody. They are buying the hell out of this thing as journalists. And we have journalists have a hell of a time for getting one too. So yeah. It's not just you. We do too. So, wow. Ford Maverick up 81.9%. Hyundai Santa Cruz was down just about 10%. Numbers are pretty solid, I think. I'm not concerned about that. Refresh version coming out, ebbs and flows. Santa Cruz a little bit more premium, would you say, versus the Maverick? I don't want to say luxury, but I'm going to say a little more premium.
Yeah, I would say the Santa Cruz is a little bit more upmarket. It costs a little bit more. It has more features. You know, it feels to me a little bit more finished. Like the Ford Maverick is more truck-like. And, you know, it's funny because I had a really interesting conversation with Ed Kim of Auto Pacific, and he made a really interesting comment during our conversation where he was talking about how people poo-poo the Honda Ridgeline all the time as not being a truck. But then you have like the Ford Maverick, which is smaller and unibody, but it's made by Ford. And therefore, yeah, that's a truck. Whereas like the Honda Ridgeline isn't actually a truck, even though same. And you know, and so I feel like that's kind of a similar situation that you're seeing with the Hyundai Santa Cruz is it's made by Hyundai. And Hyundai doesn't have any other kind of a truck. And so they're like, well, Hyundai Santa Cruz isn't really a truck. It's, you know, more of an SUV. But come on, Ford Maverick is also unibody construction. They're like same. But it's
I think you're right. It's interesting, but yeah. And I will say this, the Hyundai Santa Cruz has been a really good solid seller for the brand, for Hyundai. Yeah. I mean, it's been a solid performer, and I think Hyundai has been surprised at times how well it's done. The Santa Cruz, by the way, give props to Jill and her driving partner, Kristen Shaw. It does add some more features in XRT trim, which they just unveiled in New York Auto Show. That was literally based on the Rebel Rally. I mean, Jill and
Kristen's feedback. It says so.
Yeah,
they literally gave me sex.
Right. So Hyundai actually decided that, you know what, we have to do something. Gene says the Ford Maverick is Sears and Santa Cruz is Target. I would say, Gene, Ford Maverick is Walmart and Santa Cruz is Target. That's kind of how, that's how I see it.
Target, come on.
Yeah, Target. EV truck sales, the last category, EV truck sales, they're brand new. There's something new. This category is always hard for me because it's the numbers are always kind of murky to find. So Rivian, R1T, R1S, and Van, because they do not break out numbers out as a traditional truck manufacturer for whatever reason, they were up about 43%. I got to tell you what, I got a friend who's a big Rivian fan on my Facebook now, and he tagged me in all sorts of stuff. And Rivian builds a pretty good product. They really do.
I think they target the right consumer.
Yeah.
You know, you have the Ford, the GMC, the Silverado. You know, I feel like those trucks are trying to target a traditional truck consumer, whereas Rivian is actually trying to target a more lifestyle consumer.
And also, as we talked about a little bit off camera, the Amazon is buying the vans Rivian builds. Mm-hmm. And Rivian actually, I think it was last quarter, I linked to the story in this story. It's like a Reuters story, one or two. They have expanded to offer the van to more people. It's not being exclusive only to Amazon.
Yeah. And I, you know, I mean, you have to keep in mind, like, I think Rivian is one of the EV startups that I think actually has a chance of making it because of the infusion of cash they're getting from Amazon. If you look at the money that they are not making on their actual truck and SUV sales, you know, that they are kind of floating because of Amazon. And I think that once they come out with the R2 and the R3, I think that their sales really start to go up. But I just, you know, for now, and what I hate about Rivian though, is they don't break out R1T versus R1S versus the vans.
Right. I think that they're a startup. They don't understand how the game's played. I just wish they'd do the more of that breakout. Ford Lightning was up 80.4%. Like, wow. But then it was like, where you at? Sad trombone. It was they also announced they're going down to one shift. So it was like, it's weird. It's like Ford Lightning's up 80%. Yay. Wait, we're cutting all the shifts. We're laying people off.
Well, and so what I think is interesting there is once upon a time, Ford said, like when they first launched it, I think that was 2022. They said they had 200,000 orders for the vehicle. And I doubt they pushed out 200,000 trucks so far. I would be curious to see how many total sales the Ford F-150 Lightning, has. And so I'm like, okay, what happened to those 200,000 people?
That conversion rate's got to be terrible. The conversion between deposit to sale, they want to do like, they I think Jim Farley said 50-60% was going to be conversion of sales. There's no way they met even that number. Like the conversion of sales has been atrocious. I think people have seen the videos on YouTube. I think they've seen the videos of you and I doing stuff with it where it does work, but it doesn't always work. And things are okay, but then it's more expensive than it was supposed to be. And the initial price point went higher, and it just hasn't quite worked out the way it's going to be that volume seller. Running on the list, we have GMC Hummer EV and Chevy Silverado EV. Frankly, those numbers are kind of not useful. I mean, the numbers are just, they're not big numbers. 1,000 here, 2,000 there. We have not seen the full lineup of the GMC Hummer as far as really come out, as far as all the production going. Chevy Silverado EV just launched a new, they didn't launch, but they just talked with RST. A bunch of videos dropped on that today because it's like $10,000 less than it's supposed to be, and you get more range out of it. So I just, the 3WT, the 3 work truck versus Silver Silverado just got announced. I mean, it's just too much. It's just not, there's no accurate information there. Everything's just kind of up in the air. So those numbers are kind of foolish to me.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I know I saw a comment somewhere in the stream, and I don't know who said it or where it was, but they commented that they saw a video or reviews saying that the Silverado EV has way more range than the F-150 Lightning, and it charges a lot faster and better. And that's probably a little bit true. But the other thing I would say to you is those videos are coming out now in the spring when the weather is nicer, rather than when the Ford F-150 Lightning first came out and everybody had it in the dead of winter and it was cold. And so, I mean, you have to take some of that with a grain of salt. I just had the Kia EV9 and I have a video on it that I'm going to upload that we will upload at some point. But I literally had the best experience I've ever had with an EV, and that goes for range and charging and all of that. And a lot of it is due to the fact that I drove it and it was 60 degrees outside, 60 to 70 degrees.
Yeah, it's probably referencing my friend, and I don't know if you know him, Kyle Connor over at Ozpec Studios. He happens to have a Rivian, a Cybertruck, a Silverado, and a Lightning. He's been doing towing tests and dead to empty tests, and I honestly haven't watched a whole lot of that because I just feel like it's too. Kyle does a great job. There's no doubt about it. But the towing video is like 2.5 hours long, and
That's the guy who did a 3-hour towing video.
I did not. It was an hour and 20 minutes. Yes, not even close. Okay. To that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was really long.
It was very long. And I had a lot of like was it the arm twisting and the nervous palms and the stuff on that of that length. Kyle does a great job, but it's too long. And I just wait for you guys to comment below, and I just look at the comments you put out as far as how it worked out. I think that you've seen a lot of videos on that. It's interesting. We're seeing a lot of videos on the midsize trucks because TFL happens to have all five midsize trucks in that time period too. So lots of information out there for consumers, which is great. Fantastic. Informed consumers is awesome. That's what we want to be. If I don't make as much as TFL does and Kyle does, who cares? But you guys are informed about your next truck purchase, which is the key for me. So it's stuff you can look at there. That's interesting stuff. Okay. We made an hour. That's all I got for you guys. I'm like, worn out.
And you're like, estradiol out.
Yeah. I've been on the forum. I did an update in my health update, and I did something on Facebook, so I'm not going to cope publicly with it here, but I'm working through still some more stuff. I thought I was done with this stuff, but I'm just not. So I'm going to keep working on that stuff and get more energy for you guys because you guys deserve it. So coming up, Jill is going on vacation. Wait. Jill is going on vacation. Freedom!
Yeah, good luck with that. I'm not taking my computer, but I'm taking my phone. I will be stalking you from there.
So I'll be covering Jill's ass for a while now. And then I'll be doing some stuff. A lot of Toyota information coming at the end of the month. I have a new million-mile truck. I'm working on getting that done, and I'm working on some more stuff at the end of the month. So I'm going on two trips this month. Hopefully get more details for you guys on those trips. Jill's out for a really good vacation, so she deserves it. So enjoy your vacation. We'll be a live stream next week. I'm going to do some stuff on Saturdays, I think, with my friend David Boyd, Alter Nation, kind of filling in. And we'll do some live streams there to kind of keep things, the mojo going. I'm going to pay $30 a month for the live streams and Buzzsprout as far as the podcast. And I'm going to get my airtime, damn it. I'm going to get my money out of those places. So that's what I'm doing. So that's what I have for you tonight. Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. There it goes. All right. As always, thanks for watching, guys, or listening, or whatever you're doing. As always, thanks for watching. We will see you down the road.